Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Good Friday morning. Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. It's Jeremy Warner live in London, Ontario, Canada, where I am here for the Brown Brothers draft party. But Joey Wagner was at the center of the world last night in the sports world as he was in Kansas City for the 2023 NFL draft, and Illinois football has a top five draft pick. Devin Witherspoon goes number five overall to the Seattle Seahawks. You will hear in a little bit from Pete Carroll, who just waxed on about Devin Witherspoon, as you'd expect, as his team used a number five pick on him. But Joey Wagner, you were there. We'll talk about what this means for Spoon, what this means for Illinois, and what we expect the rest of the weekend. But what was that moment like when Devin Witherspoon was drafted number five overall and to see him walk on that stage and hug Roger Goodell?
Yeah, it was – I'm trying to think of the right word because, like, we've not covered that before, Jeremy. So, like, you see it, you think back, my mind – back to the very skinny freshman in 2019 who was late to camp. And I like, it's kind of a long journey for him and a guy who stuck through Illinois through coaching changes and was a senior guy. Like, that's such a played out story about him. And it should be, because it's a heck of a story. You didn't know, like, we asked him all week, like, what do you think it's going to be like? And he said, I don't know. I don't want to think it's going to be one way or the other because I want to let the moment happen. And it was a very Spoon moment for those of us who have gotten to know him a little bit. He threw his hands up and hugged Roger Goodell. And that was really the reason, one of the key reasons he wanted to go to Kansas City was to have that moment. He said it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. So it was – this is really big for Illinois, Jeremy. It's huge for Devin Witherspoon. We should start there, obviously. He goes to Seattle that – I mean, they've got a history of defensive backs, man, and he joins – a pretty good defensive backfield with a really, really good head coach. They also may have won the first round of the draft. They had a heck of a day yesterday. Yeah. And good for him, man. What a long road for that kid.
Yeah, I saw some graphic. I forgot who tweeted it out, so apologies. But they were looking at the top 10 draft picks, and they had the stars, like, in emojis of all the stars of every player that won the top 10. Yeah. All 5 and 4 stars. And then Devin Witherspoon right in the middle at zero. And I don't feel bad about 24/7 Sports not even rating him. I'd rather have that than some random 3-star, because I went on with Dave Softy Mueller, who's kind of the sports radio guy in Seattle last night. They had me on and they said, well, a lot of Seahawks fans are looking up who the heck is Devin Witherspoon. How many are watching Illinois football, right? And I said, well, I was the same way 4 years ago when he committed to Illinois. You're looking up like, who is this kid? But Kenodo Hudson stood on the table for him. You caught up with Kenodo about that. And, you know, I think this just shows that, you know, obviously Devin Witherspoon has talent. Like, he has NFL athleticism, speed. But this is just a reminder that in life, if you have talent, if you have opportunity, and he earned opportunity, and you work hard and you persevere, you have a chance to accomplish great things. And Devin Witherspoon's a great example of that. And I just think it's a really high floor pick for Seattle. I think you know you're going to get the most out of Devin Witherspoon when you get there. And I'll play Pete Carroll here in a second. But just one of the best stories we've covered. We've covered a lot of good stories, man. But no one could have predicted this rise, whether it was Lovie Smith, Kenoto Hudson, Devin Witherspoon. But what a story it is to watch.
Yeah, it really is. And it's not – I think the thing that when you zoom out with him, just – this isn't somebody with, he's not Christian Gonzalez athletic, right? Like Christian right. Gonzalez is this over the moon athlete that's not to knock him. Like being athletic is really cool and it helps you do a lot of things in life. I think you and I probably don't have the greatest grip of what that would feel like, but
Christian Gonzalez is 90. Yeah. Christian Gonzalez is like 99th percentile athlete, length, size, speed. Like, oh, and Devin Witherspoon's really good. Like his RAS score or whatever is really good, but it's not, you know, Christian Gonzalez level.
Right. And so you got a kid who you just worked. And that's not saying no one else in the draft worked. They all did, obviously. That's why they're there. But he just made the most of what he had. He's skinny. Kenoto Hudson told me they called him String Bean because the picture that that has now made its way around that you took when he arrived at training camp, come on, man, that doesn't look like 4 years later that guy's going to be a draft pick. But he worked his butt off. And when you talk to Aaron Henry or Ryan Walters or Brett Bielema or Kenoto Hudson, the story with him is, man, this guy just, like, he works and he studies. Do you remember how many times Aaron Henry during the season would tell us that, oh, yeah, I was up late, like, Spoon was in on film. He knows what they're doing, this and this. And, you know, look, some of that's coach speak because you never are going to be like, yeah, this guy's never seen a second of film in his life. But, like, there was a lot of reality to that, obviously. And you just pair that with the grind. I mean, it's not easy to do this. And I think all of those come together where, I mean, there's been better athletes to be drafted, but this guy worked very, very, very hard from the second he got on campus to get there.
Yeah. And if Seattle Seahawks fans come across this on YouTube or something, like, what you're getting is one of the most feisty, competitive players I have ever seen. So he is a little undersized. He's not Sauce Gardner level, like measurables and all of that, but you know, a guy that probably gets come to a lot is Denzel Ward, who's been was a really good cornerback in the NFL for a really long time. And I think Devin Witherspoon could be that. But he's also just incredibly dedicated to his craft. And you're mentioning it, like the highlight that went first, we knew it was the moment it happened. That Indiana play, he was sitting back in cover two, and he read the play. Because that was from film study. He knew what the play was. And that's how hard he works and how much he dives into film. He's a very high IQ player as well. So I just think you're getting a guy who's incredibly hungry. Doesn't come from anything, right? Him and his mom making it this far is an unbelievable story. He's going to make more than $30 million on this contract with a chance to earn more after that. It all led to this moment, and I don't think that's going to change now that he's got his money, that he got there. It's just how he's wired. He's just the most competitive dude on the field. Now, the questions with Devin are, you know, how does he do against the top-level competition? He played some good wide receivers in the Big Ten, but he never played Ohio State. But when he did play Trey Palmer, he shut him down. Trey Palmer's going to get drafted. When he did play Charlie Jones, he mostly shut him down. You know, he played some good wide receivers. Jaden Reed against Michigan State mostly shut him down when he was on him. He's played press coverage. He's played zone coverage. Lovie Smith was a zone coverage guy. Ryan Walters, now the head coach of Purdue, was the Illinois defense coordinator. They press man the entire time. So I just think they're getting a great player, Joey, that can do a lot of things. He could play nickel, but I would imagine he's going to be starting week one for Seattle.
Yeah, there's a couple things I want to build on. You talked about the contract value. We were talking about this yesterday. The next time he signs his name, presumably, unless some kid wants an autograph on his way somewhere here or there, he's going to have $20 million sitting in his bank account after that. That's a $20 million signing bonus. That's life-changing. I mean, it's unbelievable how much that moment – and, like, it's – look, we're talking, like, tens of millions of dollars, so falling to six or seven or whatever, you're still getting a lot of money. $20 million bucks the next time he signs in. It's unbelievable, Jeremy. The press conference after, total disaster, by the way. I mean, just – an absolute tire fire.
What does it remind you of? Is like media day for Big Ten?
Media day for Big Ten is at least like passably enjoyable. This was just everybody. Do you really? I've got a lot of rants.
Yes, go for it. Do you like the rain? That was my favorite one of a guy from Florida. If anybody's been from Florida, it rains a lot.
Dude, these things, it's literally, I'm 31. I'll be 32 next month. So I'm not like some, I am kind of a cranky old man, but
yes, you are.
Like, this is just TikToks. That's all people wanted was just videos and just throwing anything at the wall. Do you like the rain? Are you going to be the number one cornerback over Tariq Woolen? Devin Witherspoon goes, I don't know. He's not even in Seattle yet. How in God's creation would he know? And someone said, have you talked to Richard Sherman? He said, no. They said, would you like to? And he goes, yeah, it's Richard Sherman. Like, there were just nuggets of, like, decent. Now, there really weren't decent questions. There were nuggets of information. And they asked him about going up against some of those top wide receivers in the NFC West, the Cooper Cups, the who am I missing from San Francisco? I mean,
Debo Samuel.
They've got some receivers out there, and he said, "Yeah."
I mean, every day he's going to be going against DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, right?
So the long-winded way back is he's like, "I get to cover this guy every day." And there's a physical difference there, which also there's a physical difference pretty much with anyone next to DK Metcalf, but like that is. That's iron type of iron thing, man. And that's good for him. And look, he's going to rise to the occasion. I would bet.
I think we might've lost Joey. So I'm going to mute him for a second. I want to play Pete Carroll, who just said unbelievable things about Devin Witherspoon. So Joey, hold on. We'll get back to you. You broke up there a little bit, but here's Pete Carroll talking about Devin Witherspoon.
Devin Witherspoon is a rare player, and we've been through this draft since the years we've been here. We haven't seen a guy like this, and we have not drafted corners high, and just because we haven't come across a guy of this makeup. And it's really it's his athletic ability, it's his speed, it's his playmaking, it's his mentality. Haven't come across a guy like this in a long time. Last time I recognized this kind of makeup was back at SC when we had a guy that you guys may know, Joey Polamalu, was a guy ordinary the way he played the game. And I saw this connection between what Devin does and how he looks at the game and how he approaches it that just knocked me out. And so I'm just really excited about this. He's physically, he's tough. He's got an attitude. He's going to bring it. He's going to fit in right with our guys. And it's a great matchup for us.
There you go. Obviously very excited about the guy they take at number five, and you got to be if you're going to take him at number five. I mean, Joey, they took him over Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter would have been great on any defensive front, but the red flags obviously were too much for them. For Detroit, surprised me. They trade down, and some people argue about taking Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell. Those are two good football players. Raiders passed on him. The Bears obviously passed on him, but they obviously felt really convicted about Devin Witherspoon. And this isn't a surprise. Seattle showed up in force at both pro days from what we saw. And I think they have multiple scouts at Devin Witherspoon's individual pro day. I know they were talking with Aaron Henry during the pro day in March when Devin couldn't go. So they showed high interest. So I thought it was either Detroit. I thought Detroit was the most likely. The bettings said that. And I think Detroit wanted him because they traded out after he wasn't there. But Seattle always was a potential destination. And, man, what a good fit I think it is for Devin Witherspoon.
Yeah, and I'm pretty confident that he took it one of those top 30 visits to Seattle. Some of our life, Jeremy, is kind of snooping around Instagram to see. He had an Instagram story from that area, the Washington State area, before the draft. So he was out there, it does appear. Detroit, don't think they were very happy with Seattle because that was the very logical landing spot for him. And they traded back, maybe kind of didn't have the best results after that, depending on what you think of how it all went down. But, yeah, it was pretty – interesting, Jeremy, to watch it, because at some point, like, we can talk about this, like, in stages is kind of how we saw where Devin Witherspoon was going to go, like right after the season. Like, this guy's probably a first round pick, and the buzz and the mock drafts and the people who know way more than you and I about Intel in the NFL had backed that up. And then as you got a few months after that, it was climbing in the first round, and then it became, hey, this guy's a top 10 pick. And that that held true. And to your point about Jalen Carter, go ahead.
Shout out Walter Football that had Devin Witherspoon, I think, as a first-round pick in the preseason. I was like, ooh, I thought he was mid-round kind of guy. I thought he had more to prove. But he obviously went out, dominated. I mean, the numbers, he gave up, 22 receptions for 200 yards on 60-something targets this year. He just completely shut down that side of the field. He wasn't tested that often, but when he was, he had 14 pass breakups, 3 interceptions. So he almost – I think he had more pass breakups and interceptions is allowed receptions at one point this season. So it was unbelievable what he was able to do this past season, but the way he shot up the boards, and this wasn't the best draft class, but I just think his reliability, and you just know what you're getting out of Devin Witherspoon. And the fact that Seattle, that's been pretty good at drafting here, took him at number 5, I think says a lot about how the NFL feels about him. And I remember, you know, Johnny Newton was tearing it up early in the season, Seth Coleman tearing it up, Keith Randolph tearing it up early in the season. And our American linebacker analyst, Jay Layman, came on and said, Devin Witherspoon's the best player on this team. He said, he's an NFL player. He's a potential first-round pick. And that's when I started thinking, oh, maybe this is possible, because if this guy, All-American linebacker Jay Layman, who had some cups of coffee in the NFL, if he thinks that of Devin, I'm sure the NFL guys think that too.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to put my hand up. We got a buddy who I know, he's on our message boards and subscriber, and he said he sent me the Walter Football thing, and like, way earlier than I thought was like realistic. And I said, dude, I don't know. And I think I'm probably on the hook financially. I said, I'll pay your kids way through college if that happens. So I do have some financial obligations to him. But the point is, we didn't see that coming, man, for him to go up into that spot. And well, yeah, you're right. Walter Football was on it very early, very correctly. One more point about Jalen Carter. We had availability on, what's today, Friday. So Wednesday, with Joel Klatt. Someone had asked, I think it was Detroit, one of the Detroit team reporters, and they were asking about corners because obviously Detroit basically had a sign up that said, hey, we would like to take a cornerback. Here, Devin Witherspoon was a likely pick. And he said, Seattle at 5 is going to be interesting because if they don't take Jalen Carter, that'll tell you what teams think of Jalen Carter. And if they don't take Jalen Carter, the arrow would probably point to a cornerback. And it played out exactly as Joel Klatt had discussed there. So that was – Seattle was kind of – I mean, obviously, like, Houston made it very interesting at 2 and 3. But Seattle was kind of the point where – because obviously Indianapolis was taking a quarterback. Obviously Carolina was taking a quarterback. And Seattle was like, well, what's going to happen here? Like, how's this going to play out? And played out with a top 5 pick from Illinois, which still feels very bizarre to say out loud, Jeremy. But, wow, man, wow.
It's really – I mean, the first in a lot of Illinois fans – consciousness. I mean, if you're a millennial, you probably don't remember Hardy and Rice going number 2 and number 3 back in 1996. I mean, he's one of 4 players in the common draft era. So that's since the AFL and NFL merged, right, in 1967, to have gone in the top 5. It's Hardy at number 2 in 96, Simeon Rice at number 3 in 96, and Jeff George at number 1 in 1990. Devin Witherspoon is now part of that group, and now he's top 5. Some other guys that went this high in the NFL draft, Dick Butkus, number 3, 1965, and Joe Rutkins, who can forget, number 3 back in 1961. So an amazing, amazing feat for him to accomplish, Joey, and just an amazing sell for the Illini football program now. I mean, Kenodo Hudson – and Lovey Smith deserve a lot of credit for being in on this one, to bring in Devin Witherspoon. And, you know, even though he was 150 pounds soaking wet when he showed up, he made an immediate impact, whether it was special teams, whether it was running down the Wisconsin wide receiver and that upset to help Illinois win that upset. Like, that's when you knew he was special, and he was starting in the bowl game when he was a freshman, then just gradually got better. But he really took off under Aaron Henry, now the defense coordinator at Illinois, Ryan Walters and Brett Bielema. And when you got Sidney Brown, Kirby Joseph is already in the NFL. Sidney Brown's going to be in the NFL likely after today. Quan Martin's going to be in the NFL likely after today. That's a heck of a sell in that secondary for Aaron Henry and Brett Bielema.
Yeah, before we get into that, there are going to be three programs using Devin Witherspoon as a recruiting pitch. Kenoto Hudson is without question going to be using that at Ole Miss. Ryan Walters is going to be using that at Purdue. But for the sake of this podcast, we should talk about the fact that Illinois is going to be using that a lot. And they should. You don't get a better pitch than that. I mean, that's a pitch you've got to throw out there. And I asked Brett Bielema on yesterday about that. I said, how do you maximize this? Obviously, it's a great day for him. So don't want to like sound like you're taking away from that, but how does your program capitalize on this? And I'm pretty sure if they were able to FaceTime recruits from the green room, I'm guessing that happened. I'm guessing there were pictures sent from the green room. I'm guessing the picture that Aaron Henry tweeted out of all those guys went to every defensive back on their board from the class of 24 to whenever the heck they can talk to those other guys, 27, you know, whatever the case is. That's a pitch, man. And you've got to – it's not a one-off, and I think that'll probably be maybe emphasized a little bit more today with as you mentioned, Sidney Brown and Quan Martin likely to go later tonight. They've got a good track record, and Lovie Smith and Hudson and the former staff got these guys, and they had some success with those guys, but it really took off the last 2 years, and doesn't get to be a better recruiting pitch than that if you're Illinois. And it's funny, Jeremy, we thought, and there's a lot of truth to it, oh, the trenches, they're going to have all these because Brett Bielema's had a lot of offensive linemen drafted, and he will without hesitation tell you that because he should tell you that. It's a good pitch for him. But here it is, defensive backs right now is the hottest recruiting pitch on a Brett Bielema team. And look, come on, man, we wouldn't have said that in December of 2020 when he got hired. We would have been like, all right, every lineman, get ready. And now defensive backs is a hot one here.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, Devin Witherspoon is the first non-lineman of Brett Bielema's to go in the first round. His other first-round picks, Joe Thomas, Gabe Karimi, J.J. Watt, Kevin Zeitler, Travis Frederick, Frank Ragnow. This is the first skill position, quote unquote, that he's had drafted in the first round. I think next year his highest drafted guys will be linemen because you got Isaiah Adams, Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, Julian Pearl. We'll see if Isaiah Williams, maybe Pat Bryant can get in that mix. I'll have a piece later this week about the Illini's top 2024 guys. I'd put Seth Coleman in that mix. You know, Gabe Akis is going to come up in a couple years as well. So Illinois is going to be a fixture here in the NFL draft. But this is a big day for Illinois, too. You got Sidney Brown, potentially a second or third round pick. Quan Martin, I think, can go pretty early today, Joey. So I think those two guys are pretty good, well locked. I would feel almost better about Quan being locked in today, which is great because of his versatility. But Sidney Brown clearly had an unbelievable year. And, you know, we were told this leading into the draft process. Illinois was told by the NFL midway through the season, like, we really like Sidney Brown, but we need to see him cover more. And they put him in situations to cover more. Like, I think Ryan Walters and Aaron Henry did a great job with Devin Witherspoon. He played wherever the best wide receiver was. Like, he blanketed him across the field. So you got to see him in the nickel sometimes in the slot. You got to see him on the outside. Sidney Brown, they had to start covering some everywhere late in the season. had six interceptions over the last six games, including a couple pick sixes. Like, that's a great job by the staff, putting his guy, their guy in a position to succeed and show out to the next level. And then Quan Martin just really emerged the last couple years. He had a good freshman year where he had a couple interceptions, but inconsistent early on in his career. But again,
inconsistent this, place to play. They moved him everywhere, which has now – sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that has now been a really attractive pitch to NFL teams. But that wasn't very attractive early in his career. That guy was struggling to find the right spot that fit him.
And just killed it at the combine. All these guys really did incredibly well, the Brown brothers and Quan Martin just killed it at the combine. So Tank Wright, who's been at the draft, is going to be here in Canada tonight with the Brown brothers, has done an unbelievable job. It's another great sell. Like, you come to Illinois – not only develop you on the field, but off the field so that you can be better on the field. So Tank Wright has certainly proven himself as a really good strength and conditioning coach. Not a surprise coming from the Michigan coaching tree. I think it's Herbert at Michigan that's a really, really good strength coach. So, yeah, man, this is going to be a good day. And I don't – Chase, just the position he plays, but running back apparently valued again with two top guys in the top 12. I love Bijan Robinson. I love Jahmyr Gibbs, but – we'll see if Chase Brown can sneak into the late part of day two, but I would imagine he goes fourth or fifth at the very worst.
Yeah, you're in Canada, obviously. That's out there. I would imagine what it's going to be is today's going to be Sydney Day, and tomorrow's going to be Chase Day in Canada. And which you want
the better story would be if they went both days.
Or it would, but it's also kind of fitting they have their own moments. The big question, Jeremy, is: are you and Tank going to exchange workout tips and tricks?
I might ask him if there's some time. I would imagine we're going to be waiting a little while for at least one of these guys to go tonight. Maybe I'll ask Tank for some tips. Maybe I'll ask
push-up
him
contest for content.
Ain't gonna happen. His name's Tank, man.
Don't sell Jeremy. Don't sell the name Jeremy under. You and Lovey almost had a push-up contest. I don't know why you just throw that away, just because it's some new stuff.
I offered to Lovey. I think Lovey would have beat me, but I think I would have given him a run. But might ask him. But yes, Tank Wright is going to be up here along with Brett Bielema. So that's going to be really cool. They're having a draft party at a house here just outside of London, Ontario. And of course, the NFL Network did a great docuseries. TSN up here, which is basically the ESPN of Canada, did a huge feature on them as well. The story is now well told, but what a story it is. Again, of talent plus perseverance plus opportunity plus people helping them along the way. This is why I love doing these shows. It's why it's fun for you to be there. Why it was fun to watch Kendrick Green go through this, obviously, when you were there. But for me, this is going to be one of the first opportunities to see guys in person get drafted and to have two of them and the brothers and knowing their story and having their mom and their grandmother right there and the whole community. I'm not sure if the Yateses will be up here with their host family in Florida, but two of the best kids I've covered, the Brown brothers. So to be able to witness that is truly going to be a privilege.
I wish I had content advice. I've done two. It's a really cool thing. Kendrick Green 2 years ago and Vidarian Lowe's last season. It's so hard. Like, obviously you take videos because it's a moment and it's our job to capture that moment and share, but it still doesn't do it justice because I think everybody knows, like, those guys aren't finding out first when the commissioner or whoever goes up there and says, this is who it's going to be. Like, there's a call. And then, like, any time the phone, like, dings or rings, and it could be, Kendrick Green's, Lovey called him. And at that point, Lovey was the coach of the Texans. And look, I know how a lot of people feel about Lovey. That dude cared about his guys.
Yeah.
He really cared. So he was calling Kendrick to just check in. How are you? Well, at that moment in time, it's like, am I being drafted by the Texans? And he was not. Obviously, he went to the Steelers. And a very similar thing happened with Vidarian Lowe last year. I wish I remembered the team. But an offensive line coach called and was like, hey, I really like you. But they didn't take him. It's like, man, I maybe don't call.
I'd rather not get that call, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a funny story, but like, it's so tense, man, and tense in a good way, because you want to know where you're going to play and you want to know that your dream's going to be realized. But any move, it feels like any pin drop or sudden movement, everyone's like, is this it? Is this the team? It's a really cool experience. We're lucky as hell to do this and be able to go to these things and capture those moments. And those guys let us in.
Yes.
They don't have to do that. They don't have to do that at all. And they do. And it's a really, really cool thing, man.
Yeah, don't take that for granted. We appreciate these guys. You know, it's been an honor to cover some of these guys, right, and watch their journey. And it's so fun to watch these guys achieve their dreams. We'll wrap up here very shortly, Joey, but there's also going to be an interesting day three for several guys because they're going to end up on NFL rosters. But do they get drafted? Are they priority free agents? I think Calvin Avery and, you know, Brett Bielema hasn't mentioned him a lot, but I think Avery and Palcheski are the guys that have a chance to go late. And then Isaac Darkangel will end up on an NFL roster, which is amazing story within itself. Kendall Smith has a chance, which guy was in the
amazing
transfer portal
story
16 months ago, right? And, you know, got guys like Tommy DeVito, Alex Pilstrom, another great story. So the journey's just beginning for all these guys. And we've seen guys like Justin Hardy become a Pro Bowl special teamer who go undrafted. A guy like Malik Turner stick in the league for a really long time despite being undrafted. So
Tony Adams last year.
Tony, yeah, it's almost a surprise Tony Adams didn't get drafted by the Jets, given how much money they gave him to get him in the building. So, it's going to be, even if those guys don't hear their names called, their dreams are going to come true because they're about to sign an NFL contract at some point.
Yeah, man, it's really, as you were naming them off, and I'm sitting here like, that's a story too. That's a story. We can quickly, I don't want to belabor all of this, Jeremy, but let's talk about the ones that we said, oh, that's a really, really good story. Isaac Darkangelo, walk on. Just shot a shot in the Big Ten. He turned into the leading tackler and is probably going to find his way to an NFL camp. Kirby Joseph was Lovie's first recruit. He and Ricky Smalling, as you well know.
Kendall Smith, yeah.
Kendall Smith, I'm sorry. Thank you. It's 9:15, man. I know it's 10:15 in Wernerville here, but it's 9:15 for me.
Eastern time zone is a load of
it's the worst.
Crap, by the way. I don't know how you people live out
it's,
here.
It's perfect. Kendall Smith, thank you. First recruit for Lovie. Didn't offensively, defensively, didn't really find any rhythm for the first 5 years of his career, 4 years. He was a dime package guy in their first season at Illinois. But look at him now. I mean, his numbers are there. He's going to test well. He has tested well. And then Alex Pilstrom, walk-on tight end, who looked like he could have been taken away by a gust of wind at Memorial Stadium. Puts on weight, starts to, you know, ends up at guard in that COVID year, ends up at tackle when Bedarian logos center, and he's going to find his way into a camp. A walk-on tight end who didn't snap until the December before the season. He became a center and had to eat everything under the sun in Glen Allen to maintain the weight. Just like, that's the fun part about this, is to see those stories. And you're right, I'm glad you mentioned those guys, because they're guys who probably haven't gotten all the attention because they're going to be undrafted guys in all likelihood, but man, they're going to get that opportunity to go in there, and you can do something with that.
Yeah. I do want to mention, like, it's not a surprise Calvin Avery would be an NFL prospect. He was a four-star prospect, but the fact that he became one last year, because, you know, he didn't quite live up to that hype, the weight, getting it under control, but he had some dominance at times last year, and he was really an underrated part of that defense. He's a nose tackle. He's not going to provide a lot of pass rush value, but for a team that runs a 3-4, he's going to get an opportunity. We'll see what he makes of it. And Alex Palcheski wouldn't have been a surprise to me. Of all these offensive linemen that have been drafted, after 2018, I would have told you Alex Palcheski has the chance to go highest. Obviously, Ken Green turned into that, but I think he's got a great chance to latch onto a team. It'd be great if he can get drafted, be the fifth guy from that 2018 offensive line from a bad team to be drafted.
Means a lot to him.
Yeah, to come back from a knee injury like that, which could have been devastating for some guys, it would mean a lot to him. Before we get out of here, Joey, I'll weigh in on my Bears, their draft. But you didn't take the wide receiver. Green Bay sticking to what they do, but – dude, Lucas Van Ness, I covered him as a recruit a little bit. I was there the day Lovie Smith offered at a camp at Lindenwood in St. Louis. Boy, that guy's gotten big and nasty ever since then. So what do you think of Van Ness?
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Sorry, I'm sorry if I cut you off. This hotel internet, Jeremy, not – yeah, here we are trying to fight through this horrific hotel internet. I like it. Look, part of me, I mean, wanted a wide receiver. I've said that for as long as I can remember. This Packers are going to do what the Packers are going to do. And I'm glad there is no, like, oh, he's gone. We're doing it in regards to Aaron Rodgers. Van Ness, like I saw, I think ESPN said maybe it was a reach. I don't care. If you believe, like, at this point, Green Bay defensively has drafted in a way that's like, if you believe in your valuations and go for it and go get him and go get your guy. It wasn't the sexy pick. I will say, and I'm not really like that guy who's like Aaron Rodgers, the worst now because he doesn't play for my football team. Part of me was hoping that the Jets would take Will Levis just to watch the chaos surround. They didn't do that, and it didn't make sense for them to do it. But there was a little part of me that was like, I don't know, I could get a good laugh as I sit in this press conference and people ask the worst questions ever asked to players after their lives changed. I needed a comic relief in that moment.
Yeah, so as a Bears fan, obviously the story is they passed on Jalen Carter, right? Like that is that you pass potentially on the most talented prospect in this class. But so did so many other smart franchises. Detroit passed on him. Like the fact that Detroit, which was a bonus pick from the Rams, passed on him, traded down to get a running back who I really like, Jahmyr Gibbs, but you took a running back at number 12. I think that says a lot about what they thought about Jalen Carter, the fact that the Raiders that need talent, the fact that Seattle, which could have used a guy like that, I think he was off their board, which I can understand. There's a lot of red flags there. So the enticement is there, but I think he landed in the best situation. So even if he succeeds, I think it's because he's in a great situation. And the Philadelphia Eagles are in a completely different spot than the Bears. So I'm okay, at least on the surface, of passing a guy with that kind of red flags. And we traded down, got an extra pick next year to still get a guy. They needed an offensive lineman to protect Justin Fields. He needed a right tackle specifically because Braxton Jones proved himself as a pretty good left tackle in the NFL as a rookie fifth rounder. So you would imagine he only continues to get better. And Darnell Wright is a dancing bear, to pardon the pun, but 6'5", 330, 350, gets after a former five-star prospect. The pedigree is there. So that made sense to me. But I'm more interested, like, I always thought the Bears were going to take an offensive lineman. I really didn't care which one they took. I'll leave that up to Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, who played offensive line, who have drafted and developed offensive line really well. Today interests me more because they have those three picks in the top 64 here. They got to add defensive linemen, got to add an edge rusher, maybe a corner. I love Jaden Reed from Michigan State, so I wouldn't be upset if they drafted him towards the end, but they might need another interior offensive lineman, whether that's Joe Tippmann or whoever it is. So I'm fascinated by that. Detroit had one of the most fascinating drafts. Jahmyr Gibbs after the trade down and Jack Campbell. I like both those players, even if they're not the value picks everyone looks for with running back and linebacker. But Houston taking over that draft, Joey, that was – what was it like to be there with Houston making that move, Arizona trading back up, Detroit trading down? That was a phenomenal reality television last night.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, we weren't near the stage, and the way news brokers work, like, this hits Twitter, and then 3 minutes later, it's on TV. So it's kind of like you're in the media room, and slowly some people find out, and some people aren't on Twitter, which is totally on Twitter that night in that moment, because I know you – consume the draft in a similar manner after Devin Witherspoon. Do you want to see it in real time? But yeah, it was kind of like that. They did what now? Houston did what? And then, to be honest with you, after Devin Witherspoon went number 5, then it became just, I don't know that I could tell you. I know the Packers took Van Ness, and I know the Bears took a right tackle. I don't know how much more I could tell you, because you're just so like, these are your steps. This is what you do work-wise. But it was Houston. What a splash, man. What a splash.
Yeah. Fun as always. This is just such a fun weekend. Will Levis slips. I'm not surprised given the way the back half of that first round, there's not a lot of teams that needed quarterbacks. Like Tennessee, once he went past there, I was like, this guy's in for a long night. And, you know, people that bet him to go 1 or 2, like, I don't think they watched him play college football, to be honest. He really struggled this past year. So I know that's a huge storyline to see where he goes tonight. But to have this many Illini in the mix going into day two is a lot of fun and just a historic night for Devin Witherspoon and Illinois. So we will talk some basketball. I got Isaac Trotter and Derek Piper coming on the podcast next week. We will talk all about Ray J. Dennis, the Toledo point guard entering the transfer portal. He would be ideal, guys. And Illinois is going to be very, very involved. We'll see how quickly this goes, if he does go through the draft process. But he's really good. Like, I think he can make – he's a different player, but I think he can make a Jahmyr Young-type impact at a Big Ten school, Joey. Plug him in. He's going to be one of the best players on the team if Illinois is able to land him. So, yes, You're going very hard after Ray J. Dennis. I think Illinois fans, if you land him, should be very excited because he just – his assist-to-turnover ratio is insane. He makes everyone better, but he can also score at every level. He's a guy that's got a chance to play at the NBA. I don't know if he's going to be an NBA draft pick, obviously, but what a rise he's had in his career, going from Boise State to MAC Player of the Year at Toledo to now going to be at the Power 5 level, whether it's Illinois or not. But I think Illinois's got a great chance.
Yeah, a lot of interest there. There's you're exactly right. Everything you said, Jeremy, that's Illinois needs. I don't think at this point any fan of Illinois or anybody who consumes Illinois basketball can say, yeah, they need a point guard. Like, you need a point guard every year, but the way they like to run things, they just run so much better with that experience. Before we get out of here, Jeremy, I do want to say, I want to ask two things. One, I know you're professional and I know you're not going to do it, but will you get caught up in the Go Pack Go if the Packers take Sidney Brown tonight?
I will be very happy for Sidney Brown. I will not say Go Pack Go.
Will you text me that? I won't screenshot it.
No.
That's
you know, I do have to say this, Joey. My first NFL jersey ever was a Green Bay Packers jersey, Sterling Sharp. I loved Sterling Sharp. Before I became a Bears fan, I was a big Sterling Sharp fan. Don't ask me
jump
why.
On the Bears.
I loved
jump
green
on the Bears bandwagon.
I loved green. It was my favorite color as a kid. Sterling Sharp, the name, and I loved wide receivers. Like I liked Ricky Henderson in baseball, even though I was a White Sox fan. Like I just loved the way he played, speed, all that. In the green and in green and gold of the Oakland A's always stuck out to me. So Sterling Sharp was my first jersey. I wore it so much it was the numbers were like peeling off of it. So I should have stuck to my guns, stayed a Packers fan, to be honest with you.
Shouldn't have jumped on the Bears bandwagon, Jeremy. The long-known successful franchise of that is the Chicago Bears. There's still time. There's still time. We can get you to come around and come to Green Bay. And my second, because I know we have some Seattle fans who probably don't understand any of what we're joking about right now because they don't know. Favorite Devin Witherspoon trash talk moment?
Trey Palmer had terrible quarterbacks at Nebraska and not good coaching staff at Nebraska. And Trey Palmer could not get open against Devin Witherspoon. Trey Palmer's probably going to go fourth, fifth round, sixth round maybe. He's going to be an NFL player. Threw it out of bounds. Devin Witherspoon was in tight coverage, and Devin just did the crybaby thing at him. So, the trash talk is unbelievable from Devin Witherspoon. So
that was Aaron Henry's favorite as well. He told us on Devin's pro day. And at one point, the ref came over and, like, talked to him, like, hey, dude, like you can't do this. Like you gotta cool down. And as soon as that happened, Aaron said, "I thought the flag was coming out." And look, to be honest, it's a pretty reasonable flag to throw on that one.
That's one thing he's got to get under control. Is he can get some flag called on some controversially. Right. You cannot coach that out of him. He had I think 11 penalties this past year. Some of them were very controversial and cost Illinois some big games, including against Purdue, which was a very controversial call. But he can get handsy, right? But you don't coach that out of him because that's what makes – that's his superpower is his aggressiveness.
Yeah, I think my favorite that's probably number one because you just watch it in real time and you're like, is he making a crybaby face right now in the middle of a game? But I don't remember where you were standing, but you remember Brett Bielema, this coaching staff's first year at Virginia – well, that game, horrific. I mean, horrific. Virginia absolutely cooked them, and I'm certain they let them know that they did that during the course of a game. So when Virginia came back, a much different team, a much worse team, when they came to Champaign the next year.
But they returned their quarterback. They returned all their wide receivers, a couple guys who have NFL potential. So that was still a big matchup because their passing
it was.
The coaching staff was much worse. Yes. And like, obviously the game plan was not as good. The offensive line was way worse, but it was still a huge matchup for that secondary.
It was. And Devin Witherspoon, remember it was, I cannot think of the wide receiver's name off the top of my head, but that was like the one you starred. Like, what's Devin Witherspoon?
Dontavian Wicks is there. Billy Kemp was there. Yeah.
It was Wicks and Witherspoon delivered. But we're allowed to go down to the field with like 6 or so minutes left in the game to start making our way to the press conferences. And this was a total blowout at this point. And the starters are still in trying to preserve the shutout. And there's an incomplete pass in the end zone towards us. And the Virginia, do you remember this? The Virginia player kind of stayed down and Witherspoon is, come on, get up, get up, get up. And it's just letting him have it. And I'm like, dude, this might be a flag. Like, This is a blowout, and you are just not stopping. But like we said, man, that makes him who he is, and he's probably gonna. There's gonna be some shots on Fox or CBS of him and a receiver face to face jawing because that's who he is. They said, "Who are you most excited to cover?" This has been his answer since the combine. He goes, "Everyone." It's like, oh yeah, this dude does not. He doesn't back down. He does not back down. It's gonna be really fun to watch him on Sundays. I'm glad he's not in the NFC North.
He does not give an F about nothing, Joey.
There he is.
You got to have that mentality, because he got beat every once in a while, but it didn't bring him down. Like we'd seen in the past, like Tony Adams would get down on himself, Nate Hobbs at times would get down on himself, but like Devin Witherspoon, you don't got to worry about that. That's for sure. All right, Joey Ratner, thank you for waking up early this morning. I'm sure it was a late night in Kansas City. It was a late night in Canada because it's Eastern time zone, these crazy people. I don't know how they freaking do it. But, yes, great job with the story. I encourage everybody to go read Joey's stuff at Atlanta Inquirer about Devin Witherspoon. I also have a story, official visit primer, Trey Petty, quarterback out of Starkville, Mississippi. Could Illinois have a Starkville pipeline there? Luke Altmaier from there. Trey Petty backed him up as a freshman. You can read all about that. My confidence meter in Illinois being able to land him an early official visit. This is the first April official visit that I can remember covering for Illinois. So check that out, Atlanta Inquirer. And, of course, I'll have more coverage from Canada. Any last thoughts, Joey?
No, my internet's going out, and I think the pool's open. This is about to be chaos down here.
Hop in. All right, for Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody, thank you for listening to the Atlanta Inquirer podcast. Thanks to our live YouTube streamers. Give us a like on your way out. That really helps us out. Follow us, subscribe to us, hit the notifications bell. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating and review as well. Check out all the latest at Atlanta Inquirer. But until next time, we'll talk some hoops. Maybe we'll talk more NFL draft. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Atlanta Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.